Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie. Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Just want to say it's a great day. I don't care what happened. It's a great day. Text your friends and family and tell them to get on. Call 347-539-5078 to listen to the show. Let's see here. What an interesting morning. Thank God. God is so good. He is so good. Prayer works, y'all. You know, this is the first time out of 12 years that I've been doing this show that this has happened. You know, the enemy, he tries, but he cannot work against the Word of God. It just won't work for him. And I was determined I will not get upset. I will my energy will not change in any way, shape, or form. And I'll get with you in a little bit. Elder, we have Elder on. I see your number. I don't see. Click one for me, please, ma'am. Thank you for Jesus. I thank Jesus for coming down and teaching us what we're supposed to do when the adversary comes against us. What are we supposed to do? He says, pray. When you pray and believe, you will receive. So I'm not going to give him a lot of credit this morning, but I can say one thing. I knew the Holy Spirit was going to allow me to get on this radio program today because I asked him, and I believed that he was going to do it. And even though it went past 10 o'clock, it's after 10 now, and you got to guess, and this, that, and the other. I didn't pay him one bit of attention because I'm getting on here today. And I learned something new in the process. The Holy Spirit showed me something else I could do instead of rescheduling a time. He showed me where I could just go live right now. I was like, wow, thank you, God. Look at you. So the lesson today, mothers and daughters, don't give up. Stay focused on whatever it is that you're doing. You know God asked you to do it. You know you're doing it from your heart. And he said, whatever you ask, John 14:14, you ask anything you ask me. And that's what I said. I'm asking you, and I know you're going to do it. And all of a sudden, things change. It turned around. Stop receiving the data. I could have walked away and said, oh, well, never mind. I'll just do it next Saturday. It's not working for me. It's 10 o'clock. You know, I'll do it later. But I said no, because I am not going to let the enemy defeat me. He's running around now rampant all over the world. going to and fro, trying to destroy, kill, and steal whatever he feels like he's big and bad enough to do, but not today, not here. We're getting on this radio program today, and here we are. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Prayer of the righteous.
Yes. I was like, no, I'm just going to call everybody and tell them what you're doing. I said, I'm going to tell them what you're doing and put them on the prayer. You know, you ain't going to do this and walk away with it. That ain't happening. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. And yourself, everybody, audience?
Good. We have, I guess, this morning, Elder Linda Adams with us as our guest. And we'll do an open mic round table. So if everybody can kind of watch your background, because I won't mute you.
Alrighty.
Watch your background noise. Elder Adams, if you could click one. I don't know if she can hear me or not. But anyway, hopefully she'll click one and I can bring her in. So we're going to do like we normally do, ladies. How was your week last week, Cynthia?
My week was good. Not too many challenges, you know, because, you know, it's a battlefield of the mind. And so I was good this week. I was focused. I got a lot accomplished. I reached another goal. So it was good. I finished some coursework at an institution. And so I guess you could say I graduated, if you will, if there was a graduation to be got. But I finished a year course, and it felt really good to submit that last exam. So all is well.
Yeah, I'm really proud. I'm proud of you because I know how hard you work to get that done. I'm like, Lord, she's the hardest working student I ever seen. Because you were on it, girl. You were on it. I don't know if I could do all of that with all things going on, and we got the school going, and, you know, it's just like, really, but I'm proud of you. Congratulations. I know that was a long task. It's going to open up a lot of space for you. And hopefully, you know, you'll get a little bit more rest because you have been on it, I can say. Deborah, how was your week?
Amen.
My weekend was great. I'm just, you know, still settling in and getting used to, you know, being able to just move around from one room to the next and, you know, and the whole neighborhood thing. So God is good, and I just want to say congratulations to Cynthia, and she is the hardest working student and professor that I know. So congratulations, and all was well. I had a great week.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah. I mean, you know, I really. She said I'm gonna have it done by my birthday, and you made it. A few days before, what, 9 days before, something like that. So that's very good.
Yeah, my birthday is on the 17th. I was determined. I'm going to get her done. And so God is able, and the Holy Spirit helped me. And I was like, we're going to do this. I'm like, I will not go into another month with this hanging over my head. So God is able.
Amen.
Okay. Deborah, can you give us a prayer this morning?
Yes. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you for doing all things. We thank you for knowing what we need when we need it. We thank you for loving us when we couldn't love ourselves. We thank you for just giving us time and time again and again to hear your voice, to do your will, to do your work. We ask right now that you will come in the midst, that we will be on the same level of spirit and unity, that we will come and give a word, whatever you say to us, and Lord, we will say to the people, not just to the people, we will say it to ourselves, Lord. So we need to hear the word too first, Lord. We thank you for using us to bring a word. We thank you for our guests. We ask that you will touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Give her all that she needs to do what she needs in her ministry, in her life, and that she will continue to give you praise and glory. We ask right now that you will just speak, Lord, because your servants are listening. Help us as we help them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, we have an exciting show today. and I didn't get my coffee. Like, you know, we making this thing happen today. It is going on. So let's see here. Today, with our guest, we have Elder Linda Adams, and I sent you guys her bio so you all would have it and get a glimpse at some of the things that Elder Linda does. You know, because your bio really cannot describe who you really are, and in all aspects. And she's done a lot of things over her lifetime. Elder Adams has been a person that I met recently, but a person that I feel like I've been knowing for a lifetime. And that I know God sent her into our life. And just thinking about her this week, I was saying, you know, just keep in my spirit, have her come and be a part of the roundtable. Just for the audience, several different things, and I let her share a couple of those things. But one thing that I know that I like about her is that she has this voice. She has a voice. She's a professional singer. She goes around, travel the world, and do what she does as far as performing. And she's an actress in a couple. She's a couple movies right now. She's practicing, and they're doing some Zoom stuff. It's interesting how they're doing that. And she's done some stage plays things to that nature. So she's been very active in the church, knowing how to put together her own group with her. She says, I can take a group and have them singing in an hour. And I'm thinking, I was thinking to myself, I didn't say it to her, but I was thinking, guys, I said, well, maybe she could teach me how to sing, because, you know, that's always been my desire. But I never had that talent. So, you know, I used to say, boy, if I could sing Whitney Houston, boy, you better get back. So, you know, that's some wishing on my part, because very few people can touch Whitney. So anyway, I'm going to bring Elder on with us today about our topic for today. Our topic today is mothers and daughters dealing with rejection. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to do with this today, but audience, mothers and daughters out there, I know he's going to give you a word. He's going to give you a healing in your mind, because rejection is such a major, major thing. You know, rejection, when it's something that you want and somebody says no, rejection, you didn't get the job, you didn't get accepted at the school, you didn't get the apartment that you wanted, you didn't get the house that you wanted, didn't get the car. You didn't get the girl or the boy that you wanted. You didn't get to go to the school, or you didn't get to be on the choir, or you didn't get chosen for something that you wanted. And rejection, dangerous poison that eats away at the mind. When you have the intro conversations going on in your head, you're talking to yourself. I don't know why I didn't get that. I'm better than that person. They gave it to her when she don't have this, 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 and I have this, this, and this, and this, and I'm just, you know, we justify why we're better than the other person. That's what God wants us to talk about today, because there's so many mothers and daughters out there that's feeling rejected. They don't have the job. The money's not coming in. Things that they thought was going to happen is not happening. People they thought was going to be in their lives are leaving. The groups that they were in decided they don't want them to be in the group anymore. And yet you got COVID-19. Deal with going out, risking your life, coming back in, living in a box, because that's what we live in. It's a square, four big walls divided on the inside, with the spirit of rejection. Some people can handle it, some people can't. And when you don't talk to someone, it will cause you to make decisions or do things that you normally wouldn't do because you don't know how to deal with rejection. So today, mothers and daughters, that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about what did God say about rejection, how we can give you a word that would help you in some way deal with rejection. We know the word of God is the cure. But we're going to share some experience, some testimonies that's going to help you. And we can, like with me, I got many. I got plenty of stories I can share because people grow off of testimonies. So with that, I'm going to bring Elder Adams in, Elder Linda. And good morning, Elder Linda.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Awesome.
Praise God.
I think we have two more people on here. Elder, say how you're doing.
I said awesome.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't know if you what we have on here, Elder, we have Cynthia Oliver, my co-host, and Deborah Tyler, my co-host, that we're on here every Saturday morning, and we go at it. I usually, whatever God tells me in the morning, that's the topic. I don't normally get it to Saturday morning, so I couldn't give you a topic. So we all get it at the same time. And what we do is allow the Holy Spirit to give us that fresh anointing of words. And we just give whatever he tells us without preparing and allowing and thinking on it, meditating on it. So how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Dr. Betsy. And it's been a challenge this week. I was listening to you as you shared with us what was going on with your the station. I'm truly not surprised because the enemy has been running rapid. But like you said, we're not giving him any place today. We're going to go forward in spirit, and we're going to go in truth. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We're going to do this thing because rejection is a key element of mothers and daughters and what they're going through today. And fathers and sons, you know, we don't exclude fathers and sons, but, you know, we're looking at that mother. That mother has the nurturing power to set the tone for the family. And when the mother is feeling rejected and her emotions and energy is filtrating throughout the house, then it's going to hit whomever it is in that house with her. So the Holy Spirit was talking about rejection and talk about that, because sometimes people don't realize that effect, that it's because someone said no to them, how it affects them. So what are your thoughts on rejection this morning, Elder?
Well, first of all, I have to go to the Word of God and what Jesus went through when he was here on earth and the rejections that he received from people of various walks of life. I guess we won't experience the cross, being nailed to the cross, but really we are nailed to the cross most of the time in our lives. But what I have experienced over the years, I've been rejected as a mother, a woman of God, and there's rejections in all walks of life, from your home, you know, in relationships, even in the church. I guess the most painful part of it is being rejected in the church. You would not believe that people would reject you because of who you are in Christ. And as you said, Dr. Betsy, there's a level of intimidation in the church where, you know, I don't know the young ladies, Miss Oliver and Miss Kaylin, are you ministers? Are they ministers, Dr. Betsy?
I'm not an ordained minister, but I minister to youth things of that nature.
When you're a minister or even a layperson, and when you're trying to minister to individuals that are the Word of God, or you find that you most of the time they don't want to hear it, or you may be in the situation in the church. You're not accepted in certain organizations within the church, within your community. Rejection goes across the board, Dr. Bessie, and I'm pretty sure I don't have to tell you. You know, we talk to a lot of people that feel sometimes that they're not accepted in different organizations, different settings, again, in churches or community organizations and things of that nature. But what I want to talk about today, Dr. Bessie, is it's just women walking by faith. And you said it, you know, we are strong individuals. God made us strong, you know, but I want to talk about the women walking by faith. You know, in that area of ministry, that will help us to understand, you know, why, you know, certain things happen to us that happen. And when you're a faith walker, you know, you encounter a lot of things from individuals because they don't see, you know, eye to eye on certain aspects of life. When you are a faith walker, you see things a little different. So you are different. So you will be rejected because, as I said, they rejected Jesus Christ because he was different. But he did not give up. He fulfilled what he had to do, because that was his assignment. I guess it hurts a lot of individuals when they're not accepted because that's just the human part of us. I mean, we all hurt. But if we, you know, we stay focused and we're walking by faith and not by sight as women of God, you know, then things is a little bit easier for us, even though people will not understand it, but we have to stay focused. Dr. Bessie.
Is she there? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. So I hear what I'm hearing in my spirit this morning, that as women, we put ourselves on a more lower or inferior level because of the rejection that we have, you know, come across, even in, like I said, in relationships and churches and things of that nature. But I'm saying to us, as women of God, we have to stand boldly for what we believe. We are faith walkers. I know we are. I know I am. And I can tell you a story, and I'll tell you about it later. I have experienced so much in life, you know, as a young woman coming in ministry and coming through the churches and sitting under different leaders in the churches and, you know, in the community. But I never gave up. I was a child growing up in a Christian home. My father was my first pastor. My mother was the church choir director. And, you know, I grew up in a large family, 10 children. And, you know, it was not easy. But I just did not give up growing up through life. I didn't have this inferior complex. I'm not going to be anything. Yeah, I was hurt through the many years. Yes, things were, doors were slammed in my face with job opportunities. Yes, you know, you were considered outcast. But I never gave up all these many years of preaching and teaching God's word. I was different. I was a peculiar child. My parents always told me I always stood out. And if you, I didn't put much on my resume, but as Dr. Bessie know, I was a very sickly little girl growing up, and so I didn't play on the playground with most of the children in school. I had to take naps through the day because of my condition. I couldn't move around, couldn't say nothing. I was very quiet, but I listened. So I can see the rejection in people even today. You know, they're not accepted in the in crowd, even in the church. And I'm focusing on the church because you don't expect the church to hurt you. You just don't expect it. But it's not the building, it's the people inside the building. Because when people say, I've been church hurt. Well, no, people hurt. People hurt people. And if people hurt people, that's because they have been hurt. So you have to be careful not to put yourself in a position for them to use you as a stepping stone to be, you know, for them to step on your head and get above you because you know who you are. So that's why you have to walk by faith and not by sight.
Okay. Yes, that's good too, because, you know, when you're talking about church when the first time you said it, you know, I'm looking back now, and this is the audience, this is not to blame churches or anyone like that. We're talking about human nature, and humans are in every aspect. They're on the job, they're in the restaurants,
mm-hmm.
they're on the street, you know, they're on the buses, the planes, any motor transportation in your neighborhoods, but they all gather in the church. And people do
Amen.
Go to the church, elder, to look for healing. You know, everybody
Amen.
That goes to the church, you wouldn't go if you didn't have to, you know, you're trying to get healed or trying to stay healed. And so
mm-hmm.
with that being said, you know, you go to the church, and then if someone cuts you open in the church and nobody sticks
mm-hmm.
you up, you know,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's very damaging. The rejection piece is key. And when the Holy Spirit was talking to me about it this morning, I was like, wow, rejection. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
this is powerful right now. And this is something that I know he wanted us to talk about because, you know, I could talk about rejection. You know, we can go back and look at our lives and look at the things that has happened to us, you know, especially every last one of us on here are Afro-American women. And we all have depraved on. And
mm-hmm.
just like any other woman or any other human, every human on the face of this earth have been rejected at one point
Amen.
In time and several times in their life. So everybody has experienced it, but how do you handle it? And the only way you can handle it is through talking to God.
That's right.
So Cynthia, what do you think? Go ahead. Elder, you want to say something?
No, I just wanted to add, just jump on that because, you know, we all fail, like you said, in one way or another in our life, you know, whether it's on the job or relationship or health challenges, and we are rejected, you know. But, you know, this is why, you know, some of us, you know, have never excelled in life because we have been rejected. But like you said, we got to get back on board. We have to talk about these things. You know, somebody may have lied on you. Somebody may have talked about you. But God, you know, we fall down, but we have to get back up. But through faith, we're able to get back up.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm going to tell you something else. The worst kind of rejection is your family. That's when you really get it. When a mother rejects a daughter rejects a mother or a son, father, you know, anybody that's in that immediate family, I mean, it
mm-hmm.
cuts to the core of your heart. But even your extended family, when they reject you, it does damage to you mentally. Cynthia, you want to jump in here, you and Deborah?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, I heard something this past week, and it said that when we misunderstand or when we don't have the understanding of grace, you will always feel some kind of way when you hear no or when you're not accepted in the in crowd. And the word that comes to mind is envy. And so we have to understand, as you suggested, Dr. Fletcher, that humanity, and it is at the nature of human beings to try to intimidate, as Elder said. It's an intimidation thing. And there are six scriptures that I'm just going to put out, and then you guys can look them up later. John 15:18, it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hates me first. Psalms 27:10, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Psalms 41:7, all who hates me whisper about me, imagining the worst. Psalms 118:22, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Isaiah 53:3, he was hated and rejected. His life was filled with sorrow and terrible suffering. No one wanted to look at him. We despise him and said he is a nobody. John 1:11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And so if our Lord and Savior can be rejected, so And it's all at the heart of humanity and envy and enmity. It's
mm-hmm.
all of those negatives that we reject someone or something or somebody's ideas because you simply don't understand it and you don't understand the fact that God can do what he wants with who he wants.
That is so true.
Deborah?
Wow, I have to tell you, y'all covered some good points. I just wanted to expound on what Elder Linda said about the rejection in the church, and what came to my mind was that Christ said he came for the sick, not those people that was healed. They didn't need a physician. So what happens is we sick, we go to the church, so you got a house full of sick people, and people that sick do sick things. And so we got to understand that because they're in the house, they ain't healed yet. They're coming to be healed. They're in the process of being healed. It's a transformation, transitional period. And God is saying that he wants us to be a like-minded, but sometimes we got people just coming aboard or some just been there that's stuck in the ways that they just ain't made
mm-hmm.
no transition yet. In the house, they ain't made no change. They ain't seek no healing. Mm-hmm. They ain't ask for no healing just in the house. And so I tell people when they say, oh, the church is church, I said, listen. People sick, like you say, Elder, hurt people. People do things
mm-hmm.
because they're not healed. They're still hurt. And so that's what
mm-hmm.
happens when you got people that's coming together any place. It could be it could be on a basketball team. There's going to be some people with some dispositions that's not appropriate, some attitudes, some temper tantrums, throwing balls and getting fined and all of that because they haven't been healed in that temperament, that demonic, evil, angry spirit, you know. And so I just
mm-hmm.
believe that rejection is part of God's plan. He said, like you say, that you're a peculiar people. You're strange. You're going to stand out. And when you're not in the group, people got that problem with you saying you think you're better than we don't take all that. No, I'm just not. I've been there. I got traveled
mm-hmm.
through that journey, and I've seen where it got me. So for me, I don't want to be in the clique. I want to be what God called me to be, and it's going to cost me some repercussions. It's going to cost me some people that are going to look at me out the side of their neck. They're going to look at me in a way
mm-hmm.
that's not pleasing to the God. But he said, if you follow me, just know that because you follow me, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some rejection. Like you say, the cornerstone. If you follow me,
mm-hmm.
you're going to experience that. So just be prepared because the word tells you that. So if you follow in Christ, you ain't experiencing no rejection. You ain't experiencing no situation like this morning. I was praying. I said, Lord, let your will be done. We will have a show. We will not
mm-hmm.
be on today. You know, and I just sat there and said, do what you do, God. It might not be the first minute or the second minute, but I get a call. And since they call me, we all. Lord, if we don't have any trouble in life, if we don't have anything, God said, you will never come to me. If everything was peaches and cream, you didn't have no haters and nobody opposition and nobody saying things about you, no whispering, you would never come to me because you wouldn't have a need. He said, so I love situations so you can keep coming to me. Daddy, fix it. Fix it, God. They talk about me, Lord, my heart is it. Fix it, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. Save me. Strengthen me. He said, I got a plan for you, and I need
mm-hmm.
you to always meet me. But if I don't never let you have no obstacles and no trials and tribulations, you'll never be pressing towards the mark to try to come closer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I keep some stuff sometimes to push you. They call motivators. The haters are motivators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obstacles are motivators. Lord, help us deal with the obstacles and keep us motivated to serve you
mm-hmm.
as we deal mm-hmm. with the world of a rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Wow. Amen.
And Dr. Fletcher, if you don't mind, let me... this is Cynthia. If you don't mind, let me just bring this part in with regards to what Deborah said, that it is if we grow up in Christ, if we grow up mature in Christ, we will take those things as a grain of salt. We will
mm-hmm.
not take in them personally. If you never take the so-called rejection personal, you will be able to rise above it quicker than you would if you start to feel some kind of way. They don't like, they won't help me. Ain't nobody got to help you do nothing. If you got Christ, guess what? You got the biggest helper that you can ever have. He said that he would never abandon us. He said that he would never turn from us. He didn't say that he would give you everything you want and when you want it, but he said that if you only trust, And we cannot take these things personal because we are dealing with humanity. We are dealing with human spirits and all of the negative spirits that the enemy put on the human nature. And we have to always remember we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but darkness and principalities. And the enemy would have us to feel some kind of way when we don't feel accepted or we don't feel that somebody has given us the answer that we want or the position that we want. It's okay when we learn not to take it personal. That's when we are moving in the spirit of Christ. We are learning to rise above the influence of rejection. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that, but the Holy Spirit just said in my spirit, it's back, like Deborah said, if they were healed, they wouldn't go to the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to say, you know, not to take it personal, to me, always stands out differently for me because you're talking, now I walk into a room and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. He said, you know, the greatest rejectioners, is that a word? Rejectioners? that's what I'm going to say.
You
are women.
It's your own language.
It's women. And women, they are, you can walk in a room and they will look at you and you know you've been rejected.
Mm-hmm.
We do that to each other. God said, that's why I'm bringing together a group of women, that I want them to come together and work together. And I do, and I'm telling you, yes, what you said, Cynthia, is the truth. If you don't take it personal, but 9 out of 10 people take it personal, because we're not.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
Absolutely.
You know, you gotta be so into Christ that you just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people can say they don't have to say something, and their energy level can just reject you so hard that you want to just bow your head and walk out of a room.
Amen.
But because you say, no, I'm not going to allow Satan to do this to me, then you stay. But the whole time you're there, let's just be real with this thing. The whole
time you're in that room,
your confidence is low. You can look as pretty as you want to look, but that rejection still plays back in your intro conversations. It's still talking, and it's trying to make you feel like that's the enemy. He knows exactly how to get another woman. And that's through another woman. And that's what we do. And that's why God is saying bring 200 women together. Because he wants to see if I can find, Becky, can you find me just one? Can you find me one? That's all I'm asking you for. And then have that one go get one. And then that one go get one. I want 200 women of God. Are they out there? They out there. But you got to sift through. And I'm not talking about women that study the Bible. I'm not talking about women that, you know the Lord. I'm not talking about women that go to church 24/7. I'm talking about women who have a personal relationship with God and know, like Deborah said, we will go on this show today. You do what you do, God. And that's what I say. That's why I called Cynthia. I said, okay, we having problems. Call Deborah. I called you, Elder. You said, I'm going to pray. I just said, you know what, Lord? I'm going on today. Because out of 12 years of being on this radio program, and Deborah, y'all been with me for a while. We never had this issue. Because God wants us to talk about rejection. He's trying to stop it.
That's right.
Elder, you're one of the hand-picked ones out of the many that he's sending. And this is what we're going to have to do. God said, now I showed you an example of what y'all going to have to do when you come together. You got to stand together. I just wanted to say that. You got to stand together. We cannot reject each other. That's why he selected this message this morning. We cannot reject each other in this group. We got to look at Jesus and not look at the body and the human person to stay focused to find out what he wants us to do. Thank you, Elder. I know you got something to say. Go right ahead. The Holy Spirit just had me to say that.
Oh, no, you're right on it. I mean, you were feeling the same thing I was feeling in my spirit as we were speaking, that, you know, sometimes it's like, I think her name is the first lady, Beverly. Is her name Beverly?
Deborah.
As Deborah said, you know, let me write this down. I'm bad with names. You know, there's a level of intimidation, as I stated earlier, and it is the truth, Dr. Betsy, and you're saying it because we as women, that's why I said women of God, ask these young ladies, these ladies, are they ministers? I can tell you from a ministerial perspective, and I'm pretty sure you can as well, Dr. Betsy, people do not embrace strong women of God. I mean, seriously. And as I use in the church as an example, you know, on your job and things of that nature, when you come in with a strong faith and something that you want to help others with, I have been in church and I've been on jobs and dealing with family counseling and things of that nature, where the enemy will always try to make people think that they are insignificant. They're not important. I mean, I ministered for over 20-something years, and I had a young lady that came to me and told me, well, you know, I know you sing, but could you not sing before you speak? Now, I've been doing this for over 20 years. And then I approached the preacher lady, and I said, well, this is a gift from God, and this is what I do. She says, well, since I can't sing, I would appreciate it if you did not sing. I mean, so there's intimidation there, you know. And I said, well, I'm not up here for you. I'm up here for God, and I am going to sing the song to the people of God, because you never know what a person is going through. And I'm telling you the truth, Dr. Bessie, we hurt people. You have parishioners. We have lay people in the church. And like Deborah said, everybody in the church is not saved. That's number one. And you have levels in the church just like a hospital, because it is a hospital. You have intensive care. You have a step-down unit. And you have and eventually they put you on the floor with all the other people. And sometimes we're not ready to get on the floor with all the other people. Some of us are still in intensive care. We still got some pain. We still got some hurt. Some are still connected to IV bottles. You know, some of us need some blood transfusion. Some of them need to be shocked, you know. So we have to know where we are in Christ. And we have to be careful as women of God, you know, not to let people step on our necks, because God is bringing these women to the forefront, you know, to teach and preach God's word, because time is lining up, and he needs this word out here. And so we can't be sitting back feeling sorry for ourselves, or they won't let me do this, or they hate me, or they don't want me to be a part of the clique, this, that. I don't care for cliques. There's cliques in all churches. I shy away from cliques. When they told me, she said, when the minister asked me, you know, now you in, I said, now I'm into what? You know, when the group, I said, no, I'm into Christ. I'm not involved with cliques in the church. And you find a lot of that within the church. Amen.
Well, you know, if you don't allow me to comment here with this, you know, when we see that kind of behavior going on, and we know that we're being the best person that we can be, that ain't even about you. So, again, I go back to the personal thing. Yes, we are all at different levels. No two people will ever be at the same level, because everybody thinks differently. They have their own, how they have grown up, their culture. So no two people will ever be on the same level. But when we get on board and we go and we tell another sister that she said this and she don't like me and all of this kind of craziness, then we are part of the problem. We are not part of the solution. So just we have to learn to take it to God in prayer and not take it personal. John 15:25 says this, but this is the fulfillment of what is written in the law. They hate me without reason. They don't even know you. So why are we taking it personal when somebody is tripping, when we're being the best person that we can be? That's because we're envy of them and their gifts, as you said, Elder Adams. When a person is envy of your gift, they will always try to shut you down. And even if the rejection comes as a look,
they're trying to shut you down. If they ain't got to never open their mouth, if they're looking at you crazy, you start to feel some kind of way. But you have to rise above it and go on anyway like you did. Do what God has put you there to do and don't take it personal. And love on that sister even harder, because that's how we're going to win them over, when we rise
Amen.
Above our own emotions.
Wow. I see where the Holy Spirit is going with this. He just talking to me and talking to me and talking to me, but he's talking to me about this group. I never expected this. That's one thing I like about the Holy Spirit. I get up and he give me the topic about an hour so far I go on, and I never know which way he's coming with it. You know, I thought he was coming from a different
Amen.
Angle, but he's talking to me and showing me, and I'm seeing the women in this core group that he has put a check mark beside. And he keep telling me this one, this one, this one. It's a lot of them, but this one, this one, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because God
mm-hmm.
is finding the ones that he wants, the ones that's going to be dedicated, the ones that's going to be obedient to what he needs to do on this project. Like the Bishop Charlotte said to me, she said, I see a puzzle. And I see you as the first piece in that puzzle, and everything else is just coming together. And all these women are
mm-hmm.
a piece of the puzzle that God is putting together. You know, God has always got to send somebody. He sent Moses the spearhead. He sent Jesus the spearhead. He sent each of us the spearhead something. And then when we spearhead that something, God is saying, I'm telling you what I had you to spearhead, bring it all together, and then we're going to mix all that together. And then he's going to have the vision that he wants to project to the world. But we as
Amen.
Women, this is going to be the test. This is going to be a test. Even for myself.
It's about faith.
Because I can feel
mm-hmm.
it right now, because what God is saying is, you got to kill you to be in this group.
Amen. Amen. And that's scripture, by the way, Dr. Fletcher. That's 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, and that is the flesh. That's the last thing to be destroyed with regards to being able to walk in Christ. That flesh is a beast. And you got to beat it under subjection and say, no, I love my sister. Because you know, it's so interesting, this conversation, because I've had this battle with the enemy, and he has had me think some things over my own children. And I know I love my son. I will never hurt my son. And because you have to understand where it's coming from. It's not you that have a problem with the sister. It's the enemy that wants you to have a problem with the sister. And so
mm-hmm.
when we have to say, I love my sister. And you have to tell yourself that every time those negative things come to your mind, because it is not me, it is the love of Christ that I'm able to do this in Christ. I'm able to love my sister no matter what.
And when you put on the shield of faith, too, that protects you. And you have to have that shield of faith and trust God that he will lead you and guide you in all directions. So when you have that faith, it all ties into faith. When you've been through something, and Dr. Bestia, when you've been through something, you build a strong character in Christ. You know, I don't know what you've been through, but I can only tell you what I've been through. And as these 200 women, people will be listening. Some may be a little shy, some may be more outspoken, but those that have been through something are able to speak up and speak out to encourage others that if God brought me through this, he can bring you through. If he take you to it, he's going to bring you through it. So I just believe that this women, of the 200 women, God is putting this together to strengthen us, because there's work that needs to be done. You know, this pandemic is not by accident. This is by divine revelation. This pandemic is just not something that gets put here and we both sit back and say, well, who's going to leave here next? No, no, no. I'm walking by faith and not by sight, that God's going to work this thing out for our good, because we're still here for a reason, because it could have been either one of us. But we have to pray every day that God keeps us, and we got to stay in his word every day so we can make ourselves useful for God.
Amen.
Because You know, because Genesis 12:1, you know, I like the scripture said, you know, go from your country. You know, sometimes you got to leave your country. It says,
yeah,
and your people in your father's household to the land which I showed you. He showed us something. He showed Dr. Bessie something. He showed you something. He showed me something. But we got to come together as a people of God and bring all this resources together, because there's a force out there that we have to reckon with. But until we get it together, we can't be concerned about how people feel about us, because we are beyond that. He said, you got to have faith the size of the mustard seed. Some of us should be full trees by now. We can't sit back and have pity parties. Huh? We cannot sit back and make people feel sorry for us. We got to be the example. We may be the only people, Bible, that people see. So who do you stand for? Or are you going to fall for anything?
Amen. And one of the things that you said, Elder, that makes a whole lot of sense. We got to be able to go there. We're not gonna all agree on everything when we're making decisions and whatnot. And that's the thing I love about this ministry with Dr. Fletcher, myself, and Deborah. We got to be able to go there. We're going to have our disagreements, but guess what? We're going to go eat afterwards, and we're going to love on each other anyway. Because if we all agreed on everything, we wouldn't even need each other, and God wouldn't even bring us all together, because we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. And if you're going to get perturbed just because somebody told you that, I don't think that idea worked today, or I want to go this way, guess what? If you're making it about you, and it ain't about you, it's about what God will have us to do, and we got to be able to go there. We got to learn to accept the word no. We have to learn to accept that every idea ain't going to work, and we're going to have to be able to rise above our own emotions and our own desires of what this thing looks like, because it ain't about none of us.
And we got to come out of our comfort zones. Those comfort zones is what the problem is with most of us. We feel so comfortable in this here, this space here. This is what I do. You got to step out. You got to come out of that comfort zone and allow God to take hold of your life and turn it upside down and inside out and shake it on up. And that's what God do. We have to learn to come out of it, because we get too comfortable. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But I'm afraid to take this chance. What if I fail? What if I'm rejected? We should have another sister, you know, or brother, like she said, we're not thinking about anybody, that we can lean on to help us get through this, because we've been through it. We've been through it, so we can help encourage others. You need people that's been through it, that have a testimony, that can share with this sister to say, listen, I've been rejected in relationships. I've been rejected through promotions on my job. I've been rejected, you know, through sickness. They told me that they couldn't do any surgery because there was all, what report you going to believe? I've been rejected in the church. You see, but God has a plan. He has a plan for our life in Jeremiah 29. So we just got to find out what the plan is.
Well, I'm sitting here and I'm listening and hearing the Holy Spirit, and he's showing me a group of women that's going to be different than any other group of women that has come together. I know that sounds bold, what he's showing me. A group of women that's different from any other group of women that's come together. I can't wait to see that myself.
Amen.
Because in order for God to do what he needs to do, he needs to have a group. He needs to have a group that he picked. He knows everybody's heart. And this whole thing started off with mothers and daughters dealing with rejection. And you see how God flipped that thing around and led us back to what he wanted us to talk about? This group. You're going to have to know God so, you're going to have such a close walk with God to walk through this garden. You're going to have a close walk with God. Because God told me, he said, there's some people they're just signing their name on the paper just in case. Don't show up. The ones that don't come to the meetings, the ones that don't do, he said, they're not interested. Because if you really know what this is, you will put everything aside. You will drop everything if you knew what this was. See, those are the ones God's going to pull up. The ones that know what this is because they know God. They need to go. Everybody, and that's what I'm going to challenge everybody to do. Go to God and ask him what this is. Because until you know what this is, you won't be able to be a part of it. Prayer meeting. This is not your everyday standard little group getting together talking about the Lord. This is not that at all. This is so deep that you're going to have to really go to God. And then you're going to have to come back up. And it's okay if you come back up and God said, no, you're not the one. It's just like Sammy going to David's dad's house. He went in there and he said, you know, Lord said, there's a king here. He brings out all his good-looking sons. They knew how to rule and reign. They in the army. They know the game. They got everything that thought would be the perfect king. But then he said, no, no, no. None of these work. The oil won't even come out. The oil wouldn't even come out. Okay? Trying to put the oil on their head, it wouldn't even come out. But you don't have another son? Well, yeah, I got the one that's out in the field. But he just watches what? The sheep. He said, well, we can't sit down until you come. And I noticed something this week in my Bible study when he said, we can't sit down until he comes in the house. Because nobody sit down when the king walk in the house. Down until he come in. And see, that's what we're going to have to learn in this group. And the Holy Spirit is saying it. It's going to be respect and authority. If you don't have respect of authority in this group, it's not going to work. And when David walked in, and that all flowed over his head, they were standing. Nobody sit. And the king in this point is Jesus Christ. And until he walks into that room, we all stand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I had no idea that this is what we were going to be doing today. And this is what we do, elders. We get on Saturday morning, and we just let the Holy Spirit reveal things to us. I thank you for being a part of this conversation today. It's been a blessing. I know you out there, mothers and daughters. I know you've been blessed. I know you picked up something, and this audio will be around for years. When we're gone, somebody will hear what we say, what the Holy Spirit said to us, and somebody will be blessed.
Amen.
We have 60 seconds. Anybody, Elder, you have the final word?
Well, I just want to say I thank you for allowing me to this opportunity to speak on the radio station, and I just want to encourage the women and the mothers out there to hold on to your faith and to trust God at His word, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, and that we have to stick together as women of God and to bear the infirmities of the weak. And we have young mothers out there and young daughters out there that we need to take under our wings and help them and to get where they need to be, because there are a lot of women out here hurting, and we have to stick together as women. Amen.
Thank you, Elder, for being with us today. Deborah and Cynthia, thank you. It was a great conversation. I know the Holy Spirit is pleased. We deliver what He told us to deliver. I was blessed. I don't know about y'all, but I sure was blessed.
I was truly blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I want to leave the audience
on, I'll
with
be right
last
back.
Scripture. Okay.
Okay. One minute. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Okay.
All is well.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Cynthia.
First Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. He's going to try to pick us off one by one with regards to the call that God has on us for this
Amen.
Mission.
Amen. All right, ladies. Hold on. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, I tell you, it was a blessing. I thank God for you guys, every last one of you. I mean, I know the Lord is pleased. But you know what? We refuse to be rejected today. Did y'all get
that's
that?
That's right.
We refuse to be rejected today. Everybody prayed, and God answered.
Amen.
My Lord.
Amen. God,
thank you, ladies.
Good. I thank you all.
All right.
And I hope to meet you all one day.
Absolutely. God's willing.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Soon as we get past Rona,
we're
going to be all right. All right, ladies. Y'all take
that's
care.
Sure.
God bless you. Bye,
God
audience.
Bless
mothers
you.
And daughters out there, I hope you're blessed and be safe. Bye-bye.
God bless
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.